Excellent. Okay, moving on. We've also been joined in the studio by the awesomeness that is Beverly Spencer. How are you, Beverly?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Great stuff. Anna, what have you been getting up to in London so far? What have you been doing? Are you staying out of the rain, or is it a case of, I don't bother about the rain? I come from the island of Jersey, so we get rain all the time there.
It is raining a lot, and I got splashed today, so I'm particularly pleased.
You got splashed. Now, how did you get splashed then?
Well, I was walking down a road where there are lots of potholes, and unfortunately one of them was filled with water, and this vehicle just went straight through it and just literally showered me on the right side. So I was a bit pleased, to say the least.
And it sounds as though somebody's reverse parking or endeavouring to actually make some sort of manoeuvre in the background there. I mean, I know it's the Midweek Drive, but really this is taking things to ridiculous extremes. What are they doing? Are you out of splash zone?
I am. I'm on a bus going home. I took myself out for a day out in Witten, which is the most exciting place on the planet.
I don't know. I mean, to a lass from Essex, it might be sort of, you know, I mean, Witten. Emily Boston, have you ever sort of checked out the Hounslow Witten area?
Yes, I have. If it's an exciting place, I think I'd probably beg to differ a little bit as well.
Oh, that's okay. That, you know, yeah. I mean, other London lass, Eloise Sheehan. I mean, Witten, is it a place that you sort of say, yeah, it's my second go-to place after Lincoln?
I stay in my cave and I will not move from it. So.
Right. And Beverly, I mean, I don't know whether you've ever considered going to the exotic land of Witten, but has it been something that's appealed to yourself in any way, shape or form?
Never been. No, sorry. Never heard of it, really.
Oh, well, that's the considered response, basically, you have there about folk when it comes to Witten and its sort of happenings. Never mind. I'm sure life will continue. So at least you're unlikely to get splashed while you're in the bus. So the key thing is, obviously, and if you are a motorist, I'm going to say, just be careful. You know, you don't have to do it. It's relatively straightforward to actually avoid that in sort of ways. So, you know, just avoid the splashing. After all, we're not puddle jumpers. Or maybe we are. Short and sweet, because we've got to squeeze in a Lucy Vine and Harry Wallop slot in a few seconds to take us around to William Coles and more. So, Eloise, throw our last two questions, please, for Anna.
Anna, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, thank you.
And we'll be doing this again soon.
I'd be absolutely delighted. Thanks for asking.
And meanwhile, back with the Histories of Journalism seminar.
Free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try, or is it the clothes you wear?
You're always window shopping but never stopping to buy.
So shed those dowdy feathers and fly. Another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide. And oh, what a change there'd be. The world would see a new Georgie girl. A reality, you can't always run away.
Don't be so scared of changing and rearranging yourself.
It's time for jumping down from the shell
a little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be.
Georgie girl. Also, maybe it's a case of celebration. Celebration of being single, with more British people embracing the single life and being better off financially. New research revealed today by Lloyds Bank has revealed that over half of UK single adults have chosen the single lifestyle, with more women at 66% embracing it than men. So to address this, why not go for a truly gender-balanced team of fabulous individuals? First of all, the author of Hot Mess, Bridget Jones for a New Generation, the amazingly talented Lucy Vine. How are you, Lucy?
Hello, thank you for a lovely introduction.
Very important. And that awesome ace consumer affairs journalist, Harry Wallop. How are you, Harry?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex.
Brilliant. Now, Lucy, talk to us about this particular survey, which does suggest that in terms of, obviously, the notions of the M-word campaign that Lloyds are employing to get people to talk openly about money, that actually you are better off financially as a singleton than you would be in a pair.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, obviously, I think the received wisdom is that couples save a lot of money. I mean, I'm delighted. As a very single person, I'm delighted to be saving money. I think it's all those couples cruises they go on.
I mean, Kira, when we sort of suggested this thing was going to take place, yes. I can agree completely
really
with that.
It interested me on many levels, and mainly because I've been in a long-term relationship for about 5 years now. And
Ginny, you could have actually saved approximately £3,612 a year.
I know, I could have gone on.
Break up with him.
Great advice. But it honestly shocks me as to how much money you will save if you are single, because birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, Valentine's days, holidays, you name it, it's always got a massive price tag on it when you're in a relationship.
Is this the thing?
That's so true. I was just going to say, and also all my married friends and coupled up friends constantly going out for dinners and having takeaways. I just think it's a very expensive...
it's really nice to do, don't get me wrong, but it's the fact that I miss in some ways being single and living that kind of like Bridget Jones, Carrie Bradshaw, you know, kind of like lifestyle. It's not as luxurious as that, but even still, I miss it.
Harry,
yeah,
you...
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, Lucy, but Harry, I mean, you're listening to this, etc. I mean, was Kira spot on there in terms of just calculating the sort of consumer things which actually she could actually sort of immediately make savings on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really fascinating because you often hear reports that single households, there is a penalty for being in a single household for, you know, tax reasons and various other things. But, of course, this is single people, and it's a survey of tons of them and how they actually spend their money. So it's really revealing, actually, how maybe single people are just savvier. And there are a lot of single people who aren't the sort of cliched young trendy millennials, but maybe people later in life, single people in their 50s and 60s, who are just better at cutting down on food bills. That was one of the big savings in this Lloyds survey. On going out, that was indeed something that they managed to save money on. And holidays, quite a bit less spent on holidays. So it is interesting to see how single people and people in relationships spend their money differently.
I'm clearly going to have to ensure that William Coles, our romantic author and journalist, actually listens to this, because he keeps trying to set me up on a blind date, and I think, you know, this is just another sort of line from that. But Lucy, back to yourself from that point of view. I mean, is this a natural way forward, or is it a case of you can't put a price on a heartwarming relationship ultimately, can you?
Well, I'm very happy being alone, being single, and I think that that's a really important message of this survey from Lloyds as well, is that 60% of singletons are choosing to be single now, because it offers such a brilliant lifestyle. I've been very happily single for many years now, and there's just so much to be happy about. There's no arguments. I've got so much more freedom. I'm happier and healthier alone. You know, I feel like our success markers have changed. It's no longer necessarily all about marriage and kids these days. But on the other hand, I mean, this survey also found that 37% of single people don't turn to others for financial advice. So there are the negatives side of it as well. And that is something that I've had to struggle with as a single person, being careful with my finances. I had to learn to share and open up with my loved ones about things like money. I mean, that's why Lloyd's M-word campaign is so important, because they are telling us all to start talking about money and telling single people that we have to be more open and talk to each other and not be quite so independent when it comes to areas like that.
I was particularly interested in terms of the nomenclature that we tend to use, that 71% are happy with the label single. Two-fifths people would prefer to be independent or self-reliant. One in five define themselves as free. But only 2% actually define themselves as self-partnered.
Yeah, well, that's becoming new, isn't it? Mm.
Would you ever call yourself self-partnered, Lucy?
No, I wouldn't. I'd call myself self-centred. That's a great thing to be. I'm very selfish as a single person, but you can be, and that's what's really fun about it.
Kira, any other questions you'd like to put to either Lucy or indeed Harry?
I will direct it towards Lucy, just because I find it really interesting, you know, the fact that you've been single and you love the life and, you know, do you ever really think about being in a relationship again and, like, you know, maybe sacrificing...
Don't do it, Lucy, don't do it!
Maybe, like, sacrificing your single needs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I'm completely closed off for, with, and it's not that I'm anti-relationships or anything, it's just that I am very happy being on my own. I do date sometimes, it's just that being so happy... There are things you have to sacrifice when you're in a relationship, and it is fun being on my own. So I'm just not actively searching. But if something wonderful came along that made me even happier, I wouldn't be closed off to it. But it's, I just think that we need to get rid of this idea that single people are in limbo and just kind of waiting for, you know, our other half and to be completed by somebody else, because we're fine. It's all good. I'm very happy.
And certainly if you want to be very, very happy without whatever your relationship status, reading Hot Mess, Bridget Jones for a New Generation is obviously the way forward. It's a clear routine. Harry, where would you point people in the direction of this particular Lloyd's M-Word campaign to find out further details, or indeed to consider whether they should consider themselves free, self-partnered, self-reliant, or whatever?
Yes, absolutely. Go online, and if you just Google Lloyd's Bank and M-Word, you will get the right webpage, and you'll find out more details.
Consumer Affairs journalist Harry Wallop and indeed Lucy Vine. Many thanks indeed. Can we look forward to you joining us again in the near future? Will you both return, folks?
I'd love that.
Yes, I'd love to.
Hooray! Yay. Fantastic.
Thank you for having us.
Good plight, routine as well. Well said, Lucy Vine. Self-partnered. That basically says it all, William Coles, I think. You know, nothing more need be said other than, you know, the thoughts of writer Lucy Vine on the whole reaction with respect to self-partnered, self-reliant and so on. Isn't that right, William?
Yes, it is, Alex. We're very happy when people are happy being single. I mean, just so long as you are happy being single. But Lucy did say that she's up for the idea.
Yeah, where are you going now? Where are you going now?
I want to ask you how are you getting on with Virginia?
Look, please, there's just too much to actually work on that sort of basis. So just step away from that whole process. And believe me, you know, you have to actually sort of have respect for individuals. You need to actually work through that process. By the way, I hadn't realised you were an ex-Soul of Eton yourself. Is that true or is that not true?
Do I sound like an old Etonian? Do I sound like Boris Johnson or David Cameron?
Well, my response is no, but it would seem that the aforementioned person believes that you were, as in Almanita. Maybe she's confused with the novel, but that's all, by the way. Anyway, I shall say no more, but life continues its own way. We've got three fabulous folk in the studio. Four, actually, if you include Robin Pierce, who apparently is listening online. Hi, Robin. I did actually discover an email that you sent me last week, which was tucked away somewhere.
Yeah, I told you don't read his emails.
No, I do, always. But it's just after a time when there are so many Facebook things, because of the carbon footprint, you know, the more emails you send, the bigger the carbon footprint. You may smirk, but that's the way it is. That's sort of happening on that side of things. Who would you like to speak to, William? Would you like to speak to the awesomeness that is Beverly Spencer, the equal wonderfulness that is Eloise Sheehan, or indeed Emily? I'm not from Boston. I'm from just outside Southend in Essex. Emily Boston. Who do you want to go to?
I'd like to speak to Emily Boston, please.
Hi, William. How are you?
I'm pretty cheery, thank you so much for asking.
Good. And what was your opinion out of interest on Lucy's previous message that was just broadcasted out?
Saves a lot of money being single. £3,500 a year.
It doesn't.
I think she was putting up a pretty stout defence for being single, but it sounded pretty dire, actually.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it's obviously fine for the short term, but the idea of being resolutely single, like some people on the Siren Radio at the moment, Alex, I don't know. Yeah. Lock him up in a monastery.
And that's what academics should be, surely. I mean, we should not be allowed out. We should literally just have that sort of thing. I mean, it was a lot better in the days of Erasmus. You know, Thomas More, we just do that sort of thing. Still, although Thomas More did have a family. Never mind. Sorry, I'm waffling again. Stop.
Yeah, I don't know. What did you think of it, Emily?
I thought it was interesting. I think it just depends what you're comfortable with, really. I think if you're comfortable to be single and you're comfortable being on your own and in your own company, then that's just as acceptable as it is if you're in a relationship.
Exactly. 20 years ago, might have gone for it. Now, no. you know, we'll see. I never rule anything out, never rule anything in. You know, a bit like the government. Oh, perhaps not. It's a different line entirely. So, we need to head off to MJ Preston, who is going to be sharing some delights with us. A little heads up that tomorrow morning, actually, William will be speaking to comedian Hal Cruttendon. This is something else I'm sure you would relate to, because a third of British people feel trapped on Christmas. Yeah, exactly. Tis the season to be strappy. Apparently Christmas is the most stressful time of the year, and you're trying to set me up on a blind date? I mean, come on, you know, seriously. A third of Brits feel trapped at Christmas when they're guests at someone's house. 2 in 5 find spending a whole day with their family stressful. And... pop quiz question. William, where is the most stressful place to actually be experiencing Christmas in the United Kingdom?
Your in-laws?
No, I'm talking about a location, a geographical place.
It's not Lincoln, is it?
No.
London?
Eloise? No, Eloise?
I don't know.
No. Emily?
I probably would have said London.
London and Beverly?
Stoke-on-Trent.
Sheffield. People in Sheffield are the most anxious over the festive season. Convert that to... yeah, you may say that. Jodie Whittaker possibly couldn't comment. But in terms of Bristol, they're the most laid back. So that's the...
Where did you find these facts? Where can't give you these secrets.
Vivao. They exposed that travelling, in particular, stress of ferrying guests around is one of the worst aspects of the festive season. For people who actually sort of are looking for most stress, London comes in second, Oxford third. Most laid back, Bristol followed by York and Newcastle. That's because Geordie's dinner care man. All right, I'll go to Ian Lennox on that one tomorrow morning, but still, that's a different line. So Edinburgh, not in there, you'll be pleased to know, William. Obviously, it's sort of middling from that point of view.
Well, Edinburgh is, we're not stressed by Christmas. It's Ogmore is the big deal up here.
Yeah.
It's a much bigger deal than Christmas.
And not Burns Night, you know, at the end of January, that sort of wonderful sort of, wee timbers beastie.
Burns Night is for the middle classes. That many people are fussed by.
Do you not pipe in the haggis then on a regular basis?
Occasionally. It's not the biggest thrill having haggis and whiskey, but you know, occasionally, as I try to do my bit for the country. Yep.
It's a way forward. It's just intriguing in terms of... No, I won't, actually. It's a feature we actually did with a young blogger who was actually saying that these days we're carrying the equivalent of 15 bags of sugar along with us, 15 kilograms of sugar. If you're a parent, that's what you carry around with you. If you want to find out further details, go to Mother Pucker website, OK? Very careful on that, particularly at 20 minutes past 5 o'clock. But that's the sort of line we're sort of talking about here,
OK? You shouldn't be allowed to do this show, Alex.
It's like Pucker Pies, but, you know, obviously that's a brand and other pies are available. This is Pucker Mothers. Okay, so that's a line from that. I probably will squeeze that in, actually, after all. We got Michelle Monroe, we got various other bits and pieces. Who should we go to? I know we'll go to Beverly. Put those last two questions to William, please, because I know he's sort of thinking, well, he's obviously managed to divert from Virginia very neatly and very happily on that sort of basis.
I've got to get her to start listening to your show.
Well, then, I mean, I did send her a link, so, you know, whether she has or she hasn't is a complete irrelevance. Oh, no, it isn't really. I mean, it's human beings. I mean, possibly to her own lifestyle. We don't know. So obviously, it's keen. Yeah, you're quite right. We are sweating blood to get this thing. Listen, it's been a long day. Beverly, those last two questions.
Hi, William. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I've loved it. Thank you so much.
Great. And will you be joining us again?
Yes, next week, I do hope, when Alex will have fresh news.
Fresh news? There's always fresh news. I mean, the news is the news. It's always fresh. It's always delightful. It never rains in Southern California. Yeah, Siren News, 5:45 every Wednesday. very fresh as well.
Got on board a westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do. All that talk of opportunities, TV breaks and movies rang true. Sure and true. Seems it never rains in summer.
Take my hand and I'll show you a world of possibilities. Not my words, the words on the official website of author MJ Preston, who we reach now in the joys of not Southern California, but Canada, I believe. MJ, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. Yeah,
definitely not California.
Here, no, I mean, easily confused, of course, Southern California and the joys of Canada. Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm just sort of showing one's ignorance when it comes to matters geographical and various other factors, because, of course, you are based in which part of Canada?
Well, I'm actually in the mountain region of Canada, which is just one province over from British Columbia on the west coast. So we're the next province over, which is Alberta.
And indeed, you're in Alberta, Canada, with your wife, Stormy, and beagles, Jake and Milo. So we say a happy...
Stormy?
Stormy.
That's a cool name.
Eloise, who's just been introduced to the whole sort of sequence, basically would like to say Stormy is a cool name for Mrs. MJ Preston there, basically. Stormy Preston.
That's correct, yeah. I'll pass that along when I see her.
That's perfectly okay. Did you just marry her on the basis of the name, or was there more to it than that? It's just we've been doing a relationships thing, and I just wanted to follow that through for various other bits and pieces. Yeah. Perhaps there was more to it than that. Okay, let's move on, because your debut novel, The Equinox, published in 2012, and who knows what might have happened had we gone into what was prophesied in those end of the Mayan calendar days, was indeed a quarter finalist in the Amazon Breakthrough Awards, rated a solid straight horror novel by reviewer at Publishers Weekly. Second novel, Acadia Event, published in 2015, was inspired by your time running the world's longest ice road as an ice road trucker. Now, this is something we've seen on screen, we've worked through that process, etc. It kind of makes us British pale by comparison, where we say there's a little bit of ice on the road, we can't get our car out, and it's all going to end, I presume.
Yeah, well, actually we have a lot of British transplants that run that ice road every year up here, so it's quite an adventure going up there. It's I ran three seasons up there, 2012, 2013 and 2015. And that became kind of an inspiration for my second book. I was also up there in 2013 flogging my book on the ice road to other drivers as well. So, and that was Equinox, but it became a great backdrop for a novel.
I'm not surprised, because, I mean, you've got sort of the road, you've got the adventure, you've got all sorts of other bits and pieces there. It opens up a whole range of things. And as I say, it keeps the Canadian thing going. Actually, the second Canadian will be on the programme, because Abby LeMay will be joining us later on in the production. That's from Toronto. Which, I mean, presumably, living in Alberta, do you actually view citizens of Toronto with kind of, you know, the same sort of scorn that people say, oh, you urbanites, you don't know what a real Canada is like being in Toronto?
I would say that. Actually, I came from Ontario to Alberta, so I don't know what I was thinking, because the weather's way better over there than it is here. But I came out for work reasons and just ended up settling out here. But yeah, they have no idea.
No, it's so true. It's same planet, but different locations, and it's just the way it goes. Very impressed to see that you were endorsed by Gregory L. Norris, of course, screenwriter for the Star Trek Voyager series and writer for the Sci-Fi Channel. Norris indeed said that Acadia Event was an epic read and a personal favourite. It's great to see that is going to be re-released as well, MJ.
Yes, I've been picked up by a publisher down in Colorado called Wild Blue Press, and they signed a 10-year contract with me on all of my books, and I'm actually coming to the point now where we're in the editing stages for a fourth book. But yes, Acadia and Equinox were originally published independently, and when I sent Highwayman, which is my latest book, into Wild Blue, they picked me up for the other two books. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's like I'm getting a rebirth here.
Now, I suspect, MJ, that you may be too young to remember Sam Jones, of course known to the world as Flash, saviour of the universe, when he was actually in a series called Highwayman, which was a short-lived series, I think, produced by Glenn Larson back in the late 80s. I mean, do you remember that at all, or was it a case of, no, that didn't cross the border?
Briefly, I do remember a little bit about the series, although I must confess that I wasn't a follower of it,
no.
So I do remember it.
It was a bit like Knight Rider, but with an articulated lorry. You know, so as opposed to having the sleekness of Kit and the kind of the sort of line that David Hasselhoff would put together, you had an articulated lorry, hence Highwayman, basically, which is very good.
Right.
And that line, take my hand and I'll show you a world of possibilities, because I suspect, actually, just looking, I'm presuming that actually that is your good self, MJ, on the masthead of your website there, the official website, because I think that might be a bit scary if you were in a particularly moody time. You know, you could say, oh, I don't want to take your hand. Or is it just a case of, no, we're a Canadian-friendly person?
Yeah, I don't just write horror, I write thriller as well. And but, yeah, I just believe that basically the message is take my hand and I'll lead you down the rabbit hole. And I promise to go all the way with you if you come along. So,
that's good. It's a bit like the show in many ways, MJ.
Yeah.
We start off apparently sort of quite mild, and then before we know it, we've got correspondents in Romania looking for vampires and who knows where we're going, etc. Now, looking to further details, you've already said you've driven a semi-truck in extreme conditions, including the world's longest ice road, which is the Tibbet to Contwatio. Is it Contwatio or is it Contwaito?
You know, I believe it's Contoyo.
Contoyo, right, Contoyo.
But I could be screwing it up too.
Well, it's, I don't. And that, of course, as we said, was the focus of a show called Ice Road Truckers. You drove three seasons on the world famous ice road, hauling fuel to the northernmost diamond mines in Canada. I mean, I'm sensing, MJ, this is a real man here. You know, this is what when people say, you know, we just don't eat quiche these days, I would point to yourself. say, there is MJ Preston. He is a real man in terms of that. You know, that or is it just a case of it's a boy with his toys and machines and so on and so forth? But let's open it up to the team. We've got a creative writer in the studio, Beverly. Beverly, any thoughts or questions you'd like to put to MJ about life, the universe, or driving ice road trucks?
Well, first of all, fantastic. It's actually the only show that my dad will watch on the
really?
TV. Yes. He will never switches it on except
He will have
for that.
Seen the 30 seconds of MJ Preston somewhere.
He will be so impressed, MJ, that I've actually spoken to an ice road trucker. Mm. Yeah. So you say it inspired your book, Arcadia Event.
Yes.
What?
Well...
In particular, what? Well, because I haven't read it. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, basically, I mean, it really what it was is that when I got invited out to do the ice roads in 2012, but when I was going up there, I just published my first book, The Equinox. I really didn't know if I was going to write another book. And, my mind is always turning into saying, you know, hey, well, you know, I'll look at something or anything, and I put it into a little filing cabinet in the back of my head and say, maybe I'm going to draw from that and that. Well, when I went up to do the ice roads, I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. I'm an amateur photographer, and I took in excess of 10,000 pictures up there. And I got nursed up the road by these veterans because I was a newbie. But it's so beautiful up there. Like, people don't understand or don't realize it. It's like a frozen paradise. I mean, you got the aurora borealis at night that just splashes across the sky. And you're driving these crazy hours and sometimes through the strangest weather. And I was able to take all of these things and not only put them into a backdrop, but some of the characters I met along the way inspired characters in the book. And it was just like a great place to sit there. And you're meditating and you're running 16, 18 hours every day. So what are you doing? You're talking, you're thinking. And that's where I did a lot of my thinking, is just in those solitary hours. And by the time I got back from there, I got right down to work and started writing that book. And, I was very happy with how it came out. It was nice to get a plug from Greg Norris as well.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic writer and a great guy. I was actually very nervous when he got the copy of the book. I thought, oh my God, it's a sci-fi horror. I've never written sci-fi. He's going to tear me to pieces. But he was actually very nice about it, and that was great.
Well, I'm particularly impressed, MJ, with the strap line for Highwayman, which is meet Lance Bellinger. He has only one ambition, to be the most infamous killer of all time. Presumably that's because he couldn't get together with Brandon Flowers, or was it another sort of killer that we're talking about here? Sorry, I'm making a musical joke. Just a thought.
No, he's Lance Ballinger, or Belanger, I call him. He's a psychopath, quite obviously, and basically what Highwayman does is it follows the evolution of a serial killer from his earliest age right up, and then, of course, the people that are tracking him. But the thing about Highwayman is it's the beginning of a series, and this particular story of the Highwayman, which is, you know, Lance Blanger, is stretched out in two books. So the second book, which will finish this story, is coming out probably in the next month and a half. We're in the editing stages now. And after that, there'll probably be another Highwayman book, but it'll be a completely different story. But I'll be drawing characters from the first two books.
I think you're absolutely right, MJ, that Belanger sounds a lot more like a serial killer than Bellinger. I suppose you could say it echoes with Dillinger, but it's all in the pronunciation, really, Belanger. I mean, you think it's scary. Yeah, it's like that. Eloise.
Hi. It's lovely to meet you over these wavelengths. I really like horror books, and I have just finished a Stephen King book. Which book of yours do you reckon I should read? Can you pitch me one?
If you're looking for a straight-up horror book, it's not serial killers, it's not aliens in the north or anything like that, but just a real monster book, I would recommend The Equinox to you, because that book got so much love, and it's definitely a deviation from the vampires, the zombies, the werewolves, all the stuff that, you know, all the tropes that you're seeing out there today. I wanted to write something completely different, so I wrote about Native mysticism. I consulted with friends who were Aboriginal in Canada, but I chose in the end when I wrote it to write it on a fictitious Aboriginal tribe in the north. And that was because I was going to be messing with lore and stuff like that, and I just figured if I'm going to screw around with it, they got to be fictitious. But that is really, it's about a skinwalker, and it's about a young Aboriginal man who's tracking a skinwalker across the Americas as it's, you know, basically leaving a bloody trail of bodies behind it. But it's also a vengeance tale because that skinwalker killed his grandfather and escaped from the area that they lived in the north, and it has to feed every day. So it's a vengeance tale for this young man named Daniel Blackbird, but it's also it comes into a little bit of a police procedural tale because it ends up in the Midwest of Canada, and there's a big showdown in the town. But this is a monster book where the monster walks right down Main Street. And I just had so much fun writing it, and it seems like everybody that read it absolutely loves it. I think I had one bad review from an individual, and they said that's because they liked romance novels. So I
it was probably William Coles. it walks among us unrestrained and very hungry. And Emily, nice. For the benefit of possibly, I might be maybe being presumptuous here, but I suspect you don't know what a skinwalker is.
No, I don't now, actually.
Unless I'm way off base, MJ, this is the notion that basically somebody who effectively possesses another human being, and when they're on the point of death, they effectively take over their routine. So they represent that in their skin, so to speak, but they're not that person. Is that roughly it, or am I way off beam there?
Well, and this is where I said I mixed with the lore a little bit. It was based around a Wendigo, which Wendigo is a creature that, you know, they say is brought about when tribes indulge in cannibalism.
Yeah, yeah.
So they get Wendigo madness. But this is more of a variation of that and a skinwalker. But basically what a skinwalker is it's a creature that can take any shape. It can become an animal. It can become a human being or anything like that. But when it actually reveals itself, it's a pretty hideous monster.
And I think Wendigo is spelled Wenagao, as in Wendigo, as opposed to pizza to go, or various other sort of fast food sort of horrors that are actually around in the world. I mean, you could actually, if you were sponsored by a fast food chain, you know, you could actually sort of see It Walks Among Us Unrestrained and Very Hungry being a strapline for a killer clown. I just put that out there as a possibility.
Well, yeah, but Stephen King might have a little bit of a problem.
He might, I know, but, you know, Richard Bach, Stevie Baby, whatever. Although, big fan of Eloise, I believe, of Stephen King from the last Stone
Tapes. I do like him, yes. Yeah. He's rather cool.
Very good. Emily, any questions you'd like to put to MJ about life, the universe, and so on?
I think a lot of the questions that I would have put to him have been answered. The only one I would ask is, I'm an English student at the moment, and I like all kind of genres of novels. So your upcoming project, Highwayman, is that something we can find? Where can we find that, and when is that coming out?
July the 2nd, 2019 was when it was published, but the sequel, which is entitled 4, is now in the publication stream.
Oh.
It is.
Can we say anything else other than that? It's in the public, which sounds wonderful. I've never actually heard that, in the publication stream.
No.
It's like some sort of wonderful Philip Jose Farmer to your scattered bodies go, river world sort of notion that it's out there, it's flowing along and will emerge in all sorts of ways, etc. Would the best thing to do, MJ, be to connect with mjpreston.net to keep appraised of this, or do you have social media that you use as well?
Oh, I'm all over Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, although Instagram I don't do that well. And yes, I have my website, is mjpreston.net, and it's updated regularly. And if you need to find out about me or my books, that's probably your best point. And if you don't want to go to my website, you can also just go to Amazon and type my name in, MJ Preston, and all of my stuff will come up. And I mean, in addition to short stories that I've published in other books and anthologies over the years as well. So yeah, absolutely. The website's good. If you're interested in the ice road photos and stuff, there's a lot of my photos and my artwork that's also
public. We were having a look at that, and I'm very impressed. It works in so many ways. And a second, because we used to, those of you, MJ Simpson, who lives in Leicester, very interested in Bollywood cinema and horror. I used to sort of be one of the founders of SFX magazine. So I mean, MJ, he basically, when I asked him why do you use MJ? I mean, he said, well, J.K. Rowling, he just uses that. So MJ, is it Mike, or do we? Is it just a case of, no, I could tell you, but then we'd have to execute you?
Well, no, actually, you know, my middle name is Jude. I'm Irish descent, and that was my way of embracing it. I remember one year in high school that the yearbook, somebody was a smart aleck, and they posted my middle name on, And I spent the rest of the year listening to the Beatles' Hey Jude every time I met somebody in the hall. So I figured MJ was a safe bet.
I'm even going to actually press the button on Facebook, and I've sent in a friend request. So there we are, because I'm impressed. Isn't that an awesome sort of just to your Facebook scenario there. Very good there. It's just marvellous. It just says everything about the whole world, the universe, and everything else. MJ, have you had...
I'm loving the profile picture, by the way, MJ.
There we are.
Pardon me?
I'm loving the profile picture on Facebook. Mm. It's very suave.
Oh, do you?
It's almost as though he's channeling his inner Starburst Robin Pearson, I think, in some ways.
Yes.
It's very good. MJ, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Oh, it's been excellent. I've had a lot of fun talking to you guys.
Well, then the next critical question is, can you join us again in the very near future? Will you be kind enough to return and come back to the Midweek Drive all the way from Canada? Will you come back?
Absolutely, I will, yes. I enjoyed the interview, and I appreciate the time you guys have taken with me, and I definitely will come back.
Well, there we are. And meanwhile, for Killers Everywhere... splendid. We move from there to the awesomeness that is she who was absent last week, because we don't know where in the world she was, but hopefully we'll find out now. It's our premier student vet, ZJ herself. Zoe, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Now, let's just put things to right here, because, you know, lots of people panic, anxiousness, you know, particularly in Sheffield. You know, they're trying to cope with the festive season, etc. So where were you last week, Zoe?
Last week, I actually got stuck in a surgery. Of an emergency that had come in.
So you were saving little animals' lives.
Well, quite a large animal, but yeah.
Large animal. So how... go on, you can... I'm sure we're within data protection here. Would you like to actually say which animal's life you were helping to save last week?
It was a horse.
Yeah. Now, I think, guys, you know, when you've got a midweek driver who saves horses' lives... Yeah.
I'm not taking credit for that.
No. Or as our equine followers would say.
Alex, no.
Very good exercises. You know, very good exercises to work away from it. Zoe, where are you this week? Where do we find you?
This week I'm actually in the Cotswolds.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on placement here this week, which is quite nice.
So, I mean, you're in your final year. This is final year of seven, is that right?
Yeah,
no, it's all right. You know, it's 7 years. That's you know, we don't want some random soul who might be a medical doctor going to look after animals and things like horses. We want a 7-year scenario. It's very important. You know, learn
the
everything.
End of the long road.
Yeah, precisely. And how, I mean, in your final year, do you get stresses, or is it a case of no? We're out and about in the Cotswolds and doing all sorts of things on placements.
Yeah, we have 26 weeks placement to do at different practices before we graduate. Alongside our rotations, so it's quite fun. You get to pick and choose where you go. So, yeah.
And so far, I think you've done Northern Ireland, Cotswolds. Have you done Gloucestershire? Is that sort of on the line, or have I just?
Yeah, I did that last week.
Yeah. Well, you see, the all-seeing eye. Any other places that you've actually got, which you sort of, you know, you might be heading off to? I mean, I'm thinking about vet on tour here. You know, there's a line we can't use.
Oh yeah. I'm off to. So I'm here. 2 weeks, and then I'm off down to Dorset or Somerset, somewhere that direction.
Or technically, Zoe, and I'm just obviously working on your Northern Irish background here, Dorset or Somerset, okay? Get off my land is a way to actually bond with the natives, really. You might look at me like that, but you know, Dorset, Somerset, cider. I am a cider drinker and brand new harvester. I got a brand new combine harvester. I'll give you the key. It's the Wurzels. Great to their own time. I might see if we got the Wurzels online, actually, because that might be a wonderful way to actually sort of segue between the two things. In the studio, Zoe, we've got three fine folk, basically. One had turned invisible for a moment.
I'm glad you can count, Alex.
One of the moments after the news, sometimes I astonish myself. But in terms of that, we have Emily Boston, whom you haven't spoken to, because Emily's a relative newcomer to the actual thing. We can thank a Canadian, Abby LeMay, for putting Emily in touch with us. We thought she was actually in Canada. But no, she's originally from Southend-on-Sea. That's the wonderful joy of Essex, or as we like to say for natives there, Southend. Southend?
Southend.
Southend. Going down Coastal Southend. in addition to Emily, we also have Eloise Sheehan.
Hello.
And we have Beverly Spencer.
Hello.
So who would you wish to speak to actually share some thoughts before? And the good news is Mr. Computer said yes to the Wurzels and Combine Harvester. Rah, rah.
Emily, please.
Hi, Zoe, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I've obviously not got the chance to speak to you before, and I'm really intrigued. What encouraged you to go into becoming a vet? And also, your 26-week placement sounds awful. And have you got a favourite place you've been to on your placement? Because it must be very stressful.
Oh, my goodness, so many questions.
Sorry, a lot to
ask. She doesn't mess around here. It's like a machine, you know. So it's like bang, 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 bang. It's amazing, you know. I mean, to help you, Zoe, to actually work through that, I'll give you a few opening bars of... I mean, that's got to be a song for vets everywhere, surely.
I remember
surely.
My mum singing this when I was younger.
This goes out to your mum, actually. Would you like to give her a name check now? Because it is
Hello,
time.
Hello, mother. Love you.
Does she have a name?
Sandra.
Sandra. Sandra, this is for you.
She'll love it.
But there's only so much good stuff we can actually have, Zoe. I mean, I'm sure you'll appreciate that from that side of things. And, I mean, just imagine the thought of Drew Barry actually using... I mean, Charles would not contain himself, would he? He'd just, he'd be gone.
I think he'd love that.
Do you think so? Well, okay. So, next year...
Maybe we can test it out.
We will. Okay. Have you managed to cogitate on those wonderful
many
questions?
Yeah, exactly.
Many questions.
Many questions. Yeah. I suppose in terms of becoming a vet, it's kind of been something I wanted to do for a very long time, so I'm not sure how that came about, really. I suppose I like being outside and quite like animals. And
what more do you need?
Have you got pets yourself?
I did, yeah, before I came to uni, but now that's all a bit much. It's hard enough me travelling around in my car, never mind taking them with me on places.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Small talking capital, though.
Yeah. There is indeed a very... In fact, you mentioned that. I've left Hammy, our talking hamster, in the car at present.
He's in the car.
He's in the car. I've wrapped him up nicely. He's got a scarf and various other bits and pieces. I will bring the talking hamster back.
It would be like packing up a zoo, wouldn't it?
It would. But it could be Dr. Doolittle-esque in many ways. It could be the woke version of Dr. Doolittle. You know, Zoe and her amazing menagerie. So the line forward.
Yeah, I see what we can pack in the back of my car, isn't it?
Well, as I say, the car that you were driving, which I thought originally, well, this is an epic vehicle, I thought, you know. It just goes to show the balance is actually there. So does that answer at least one of the questions then, Emily? I mean, we don't want to use all of them at this
stage. I have many questions, so I can always ask some in future.
Oh, yeah.
very important to have many questions, because that's where wisdom begins, really. That's the key thing for that. Kira, who, of course, made a cameo appearance during the feature with Lucy Vine and Harry Wallop, who was going to talk about the Frozen legacy, is probably just frozen somewhere. I haven't seen it either, but, you know, it's just a case of time. You know, I felt as though I should be seeing it, but other things have intervened, etc. Coping with change and winter trends will also sort of work our way through in the fullness of time. Zoe, we'll probably be getting together with you, I would hope, in about a week and a bit's time. And I know. Very, very wonderful. So that's great. So we will see that. But would you be okay for joining us next week?
Yes, I am. You know, it's still in the depths of the Cotswolds, but I'll have my phone on hand.
That's always important. And, of course, you can always break into the vernacular, as we've said, in terms of things that you might like to use and share with Cotswold-esque people. Do they have a particular term for people who live in the Cotswolds? I mean, like, you know, people in Cleveland are Clevelanders, you know, Yorkshire should be Yorkshire people, etc. What about people who live in the Cotswolds?
I'm not sure. I'll find out for next week.
Yeah. I mean, Cotswolders tends to spring to mind, but I'm not sure whether that's necessarily the appropriate sort of line in terms of...
I'm not sure that's how they'd like to be referred to.
Yeah, I can see there could be issues there. I mean, it's definitely something to work through. That actually, I've just realised that clearly the last two questions could have been asked by any of the three sort of there. So I think it's time for Emily. Yes, she's banged the table just to emphasise that sort of point. Say, yes, damn it, isn't it my time? Echo, 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 echo. Bang! Echo, 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 echo. It keeps people wondering, what is an earthquake? No, it's just siren radios midweek drive. Would you like to put those last two questions to...
Of course. Zoe, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
As interesting as always.
And you'll be joining us soon in the future as well?
Yes, I will, with some vital information.
She's just said that, you know, next week. So it's very important. Up next, the daughter of this fine gentleman.
Shut the fridge and joined the throng. Margaret Beatty snatched the milk and scanned the news and went along. Annie Harris drew the curtains, screwed her eyes up, had a beep. Saw the marchers, heard their voices making early morning noises. Stumbled back to bed and tried to sleep. Come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed. So full of praise, when we've rearranged your world, we're gonna change your world. Shuffling through the cold black morning went the marchers, spirits low, grunting greetings, grimly pressing on to where they had to go. When the sun came up, they brightened, stopped to have their thermos brew. Annie Harris got up gladly, pondered for a little sadly. Then got on with what she had to do. So come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we've rearranged your world, we're gonna change. Target numbers swollen, up the marchers' banners go. Chanting, shouting out with leaflets, protest for everyone to know. Sit in front of all the traffic, harried, busy shopping wives. Try to stir their ostrich notions, whip them up to wild emotions. Put some fire into their wretched lives. So come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we rearrange your world, we're gonna change your world. Sherry Wood was dragged, still sitting by a policeman from the road. Margaret Beatty had her face slapped by a man she tried to goad. Annie Harris in the office paused in typing, thought of Don, glanced again at his last letter, died for others to live better, brushed away a tear and carried on. Come with us, run with us, we're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise.
Surely the absolutely perfect bar none graduation song there. Come with us, run with us, we're going to change the world. The fantastic Matt Munro, and as Beverly will attest to, of course, the third most popular export of culture in Britain in the 1960s. You got the Beatles, you got James Bond, and you got Matt Munro. And that's why he's the singer-singer, and that's why that's probably one of those best biographies I've ever encountered, and that's why Michelle Munro, after many years of sailing round the world, is back on the Midweek Drive. Michelle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. You all right?
Yeah, well, it's been how many years? I think it's 2014 when you said, right, I'm off on the cruise ships. And
it was only last year, surely. I don't know, the time just frighteningly goes. Well, the older you get, the quicker it goes.
Yeah. Michelle, I've told you this before, we don't use the O word. We become chronologically gifted or experientially enhanced. This is important. You know, it's very vital on that whole system.
It's been really manic. And, I mean, honestly, I usually go back to sea after Christmas, around the 6th of January. And I went off this year, and I'm suddenly thinking, it's a month till Christmas. What's going on? Mm.
In fact, in a month's time, it'll be past Christmas. We'll be heading towards New Year. Just, you know, don't panic.
Don't be pedantic now.
And let's face it, if you're living in Sheffield, you'll be having a nervous breakdown. So just
I've been absolutely trying to get everything sorted, and it's been busy. It has been busy, and although I'm not allowed to talk about it, we've got a new album coming out.
I know, but that's for another thing. We'll step away. We'll focus on the awesomeness of, what used to be a regular weekly slot, 6 o'clock, like clockwork. It was a case of, I think, 7 years, I think, we actually did on the Midweek Drive, where it was fantastic. You used to print out, it's awesome. And again, it's worked through that. Now, for the benefit of Eloise and indeed Emily. Now, Eloise, to be fair, I think probably it's fair enough because, having done your dissertation on Gene Kelly and having obviously been on first name buddy terms with Gene Kelly's widow, you're also somebody who says that you don't listen to anything unless it's by Dean Martin or that era. Is that,
yes,
is that
I
right?
Like the 50s, 60s. So
Matt Monro really kind of...
I do. I like his music. He's wonderful.
Exactly. So you see Eloise, a convert already, you see.
I think she's just saying the right thing.
Well,
honestly not.
Eloise, what's your favourite track?
My favourite what, sorry?
What's your favourite track of Dubs?
Hmm. Oh.
Oh, there you go.
You can't do that to me. I can't even, I love Frank Sinatra and I wouldn't be able to pick his favourite track, so.
I'm only one.
Well, it was Frank Sinatra who uttered those immortal words that Matt Monro is the singer's singer, hence the title of the biography.
Sinatra said he was one of the three greatest singers in the world. Mm. And now, the funny thing is, I think he counted himself amongst that. And I've never worked out who the third one is.
Yeah.
He never said.
But
himself and Dad, and who else?
Dean Martin.
I don't know. My favourite quote ever was from Sammy Davis, who was a great friend of Daddy, as you know. Yeah. And he was in London, at London's Talk of the Town, and the press said to him, "Who's your favourite singer?" And without a blink, he went, "Matt Monro." Mm. And the press guy said, "Well, what about Sinatra?" And Sammy went, "What about him?" Love it. Yeah. But the thing is, we were saying the other day, Dad's been gone nearly 35 years, right? And yet, every time you play a track, it is timeless. It hasn't dated. It's still as good today, musically, as it was in the bygone age.
Mm. The music from that era is something different, isn't it, really?
It's another level. Yeah.
It's magical.
From the 60s, you've got such a huge stable of artists that have come out that you can fill hour upon hour of radio shows and never repeat a song. Yeah. And yet, name people from 5 years ago and people struggle. There's no longevity in the business anymore.
Are you saying, Michelle, that One Direction might not be having the same sort of a wonderful... line that we've got here? I mean, with Harry Styles and everybody in there? No, maybe not.
Well, no, there are exceptions, Alex. But the thing is, you're talking about one group.
Yeah.
Or, maybe three people. Whereas in those 60s, you're talking hundreds and hundreds. Everybody was so talented. And they had, of course, the platforms to propel them up to a star status, where today we haven't got those platforms anymore.
It was like proper raw talent, wasn't it, Michelle?
It was. And you did the Working Man's Club and you worked your way up and earned your dues and then you did cabaret and then you did concerts and you literally stepped up the ladder. Now you haven't got any of those venues to work at except concerts. And you can't go from being undiscovered to doing Wembley, not unless you're on X Factor.
Yeah, and possibly the last said about that, the better basically, but separate, it's a different line. Beverly, any thoughts or questions for Michelle?
Yeah, I'm just fascinated listening to you, Michelle.
Oh, how are you?
I'm good. I've been a performer myself back in the day. Yes, not singing but dancing.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Yeah, and I meet people who say exactly the same. You go through the Working Men's Club, you build up your reputation, you get your craft ready for propelling yourself into the limelight. And nowadays, there's none of it. There's none of it whatsoever.
No. I mean, I really count myself fortunate to have lived in that age and to have been there and seen it live.
Yeah.
I saw Pavarotti live and Sammy Davis and people like, it beggars belief actually when you think back and think, did I do all that?
Yes.
And now I very rarely go to see anything live. I went to see Andre Bocelli the other day and it's probably the first time I've been to a concert in about 8 years.
Mm. Wow.
And he just said time to say goodbye. Oh, sorry.
He did.
Did you ever see the Rat Pack?
Well, I went to the Albert Hall and saw them there, except Judy Garland was in it. Not Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli.
Oh, I'm going to crash.
You've certainly got a clear case here, Michelle, of presenter envy, co-presenter Midweek Drivette envy from Eloise. I think it's fair to say that.
Yeah, that I would sell every single limb to just have been in that auditorium.
You'd become a quadriplegic.
I would sell my soul.
Don't go that far.
I guess it would have been worth it.
Well,
I reckon it would have.
It was so amazing. I never forget when Dad took me to talk at the town to see Sammy Davis for the first time, and I was sitting there like, and then Sammy came on, he did so many songs, and then called Dad up on stage and said, one of the greatest singers in the world, and they did about 20 minutes together, stole the show, and I'm like sitting there, my mouth is on the floor, and I'm like, really? Did that just happen?
You
know,
an amazing
somebody
memory.
Taped it, you know, illegally or something. And you had moments like that, and it was extraordinary. It really was. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about making sure Dad's legacy still burns today and that people don't forget the music. And it's easy to do now with less and less stations playing the sort of middle-of-the-road songs. You know, it's easy to sort of get caught up in different things. But I think that music, the heyday of music, you know, the birth of Tin Pan Alley and the death of it, sadly, but it was just a different world.
Well, if you kind of just stay with us, Michelle, because I feel, you know, we can't just sort of pack you up after just a few moments after all those years. I want to actually play one of my own favourite Matt Munro numbers, if that's okay, and then we'll use this as a bridge to take us round to how obviously the singer is still available, and it's absolutely the best biography I've ever sort of encountered. I'll say that substantially. Aww. And we'll work our way through that after we've heard from Indeed Your Father, and to the tune of the Van der Valk series, I think a really wonderful incarnation entitled And You Smiled.
Push the button, Alex.
I thought that I had the world on the end of a string. I thought that I was a millionaire, free as the dawn, and then came the morning. I turned and I saw you there. And you smiled with laughter in your eyes. Then the world seemed to fade away. And you smiled, and I was captured, don't you know? I'd like to stay. Now I've got something worth talking about. I was a fool not to see before. Life was empty until your love showed me the things I've been looking for. And you smiled with laughter in your eyes. Then the world seemed to fade away. And you smiled, and I was captured, don't you know? Girl, I'm so crazy about you. I know I can't live without you. Once I would run when somebody said, why didn't I try to settle down? I didn't care, now I'm up in the air with my head really in the clouds. And you smiled with laughter in your eyes. Then the world seemed to fade away. And you smiled with laughter in your eyes. Then the world seemed to fade away. And you smiled, and I was captured, don't you know? I'd like to stay. I'd like to stay.
Perfect, marvellous stuff. And Michelle Munro is still online and doing all manner of wonderful things as well. We've had inter-musical discussion there, and I think it's fair to say that Eloise, you were quite keen on sort of saying, how does Michelle keep Matt Munro's legacy alive?
Yeah, because you mentioned it. I'm just wondering what sort of things you do.
Well, I'm a speaker on the cruise ships, So I do a series of 6 talks on Dad's life and music, working on various cruise lines throughout the year. And as Alex will tell you, I've written a book on his life and music, which I'm very proud has won 2 awards, one in America and one in England. And it's on its 9th year and 6th reprint.
And I've got to say, with respect to the book itself, could you just share with us, Michelle, how you stayed with that dream? You had publishers who basically wanted to change things around, go for a more salacious approach, but you were true to the dream and you worked through it successfully.
Well, the thing is, Alex, I knew that, you know, I couldn't walk past a bookshop and know it wasn't the book I wanted. Hmm. I knew there was one chance to do it. I was only ever going to write one, a definitive life story, and I wanted it done my way. There's a good title for a song.
Nice.
And, and yes, I persevered, and as you know, it took me 4 years.
Mm.
But I still, 9 years on, am proud of what I did, and not, I don't regret, oh, I didn't do this, or I didn't do that. In fact, and I seriously, this isn't a plug, but this Saturday in 2 weeks' time, I'm in Telford Shopping Centre doing 2 book signings for them, which I've been asked to go, which is lovely. I mean, you know, 9 years the book's been out, and yet they still want me to come down and say hello and spend the day with them, and I think that's fantastic.
Yes.
Quality will always out. I mean, finally, the book's actually returned after being on loan to my good self and various students. I'll pass it out.
Oh, you did get it back?
Yeah, I did. I know, amazing. I did get it back.
You have a copy of the book, Alex?
I got several, actually.
May I
have one? He lent them out, and it was like years.
It was years, quite literally. We'll say I might have to send a security guard to actually work through that, but I'm sure we can address something. Beverly, any questions you'd like to put to Michelle?
Yes, did you enjoy the writing process? Would you ever think about writing another book on another topic? Or
I found it very cathartic.
Yes.
Which I didn't think it would be. And it was like doing a massive jigsaw puzzle. So you'd be so excited about getting one piece done. And then you'd think, oh, there's still another 999. but it did take 4 years. But the research was such a big factor. And, of course, with the advent of the internet, I was able to talk to people all over the world and get their stories and insights, and that was really fascinating. And the last 3 years, I've been writing a series of 7 books, which are called Travel Yourself, and they're cruising guides for disabled people.
Oh, fantastic.
And the first one should be out February, I think. But, I mean, something also passionate about, being disabled myself and working on the cruise ships for, what, 11 years now?
Yeah.
Seeing so many sort of people get on the ship ignorant, thinking, oh, this is perfect for us. And the ship itself is. They just don't realise how many problems they're going to come up against in various ports.
Right.
So, you know, forewarned is forearmed, isn't it? So
absolutely.
I decided it was time there was something on the market.
Yeah. Clearly, we need to start focusing on that one as well, Michelle, because this is another sort of area that we haven't sort of touched base on, which is fantastic. In terms of, obviously, other midweek drivers who obviously send their best, Graham Harper, you may recall, a BAFTA award-winning director, he sends his best.
Yeah,
he's all in good form. Sadly, it's just Sheila Remmer these days, because Shane Remmer sadly passed away earlier this year, basically. So we lost, I know we did. We lost Shane in, I think, March, April time. Voice of Scott Tracy, but transcending. But I'm sure
shocked today to find Gary Rhodes had passed away.
Yeah.
59.
Sad. The bottom line is, Michelle, if we're still here, it means our mission on the planet hasn't finished. So that's
we are cracking on, and we will be advocates for good music until our last breath, I think.
So in terms of, Emily, any questions you got to put at this stage? Because, again, it's been a bit of a musical education,
yes.
Really.
Not a question, more of a statement, Michelle, because obviously this era is a bit before my time. But I do think it's really lovely how passionate you are about keeping the legacy alive.
Thank you.
I can imagine it's definitely something that my parents and my grandparents would have loved as well. So,
and as we
said, the funny thing is, on the ship, I get anything from 350 to 500 people each time. And you look around and you think, these people are quite young. And then you talk to them afterwards and you find that they had their own set of music. But then they tire of it. And then they remember the music their parents played. Mm. And they kind of get reintroduced and become passionate about it. Sort of, you know, again, so I've had, well, obviously, because a lot of Dad's fans have gone themselves now. Mm. Daddy would be 90 next year. It's his 90th anniversary, and would you believe, Alex, 60th anniversary of Portrait of My Love, his first hit.
Oh, unbelievable. Which brings us neatly round to three final questions. I'll put this initially to Eloise. Eloise, I'm going to give you a selection of choices of Matt Monro tracks, one of which is Portrait of My Love. The other one, of course, would be From Russia with Love, Softly as I Leave You, or Born Free, or On Days Like These.
Yeah. Or indeed, now, Eloise, what do you think out of those tracks is the most requested track on Radio 2?
I'm going to go for Born Free.
And you'd be wrong.
Oh.
Born Free was his most successful hit and the one he'll always be associated with, but it never ever charted. And yes, the most requested one is actually On Days Like These.
From The Italian Job.
Yeah. Mm. Great soundtrack.
Shall we go with that?
Before she leaves, yes. Though, I just want to say it was really lovely to talk to you, Michelle. Because
bless you, thank you.
You have a major fan here, Michelle.
Is 60s music, and so that's really lovely to get to speak to you.
And with your permission, I might actually exchange and do any introduction between the two of you, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. That's
obviously
so lovely.
We will talk again in February, Alex.
Well, absolutely.
When I still have exciting news.
I know, which we couldn't talk about today. I know what the news is, but we can't say that. We're under a D notice, etc., so we'll hold fire on that. But it will be opening up in a whole new world. So I'll throw you those last two questions in any case. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, the return of your good self, Michelle Monro? Has it been
interesting? Alex, always a pleasure to be on fire and then talk to you again.
And the next critical question is, will you be kind enough to return? We've kind of already answered that as well. Will you come
back?
Well,
as Arnie would say, I'll be back.
Questi giorni quando vieni il bel sole, la 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 la. On days like these when skies are blue and fields are green, I look around and think about what might have been. And then I hear sweet music float around my head as I recall the many things we left unsaid. It's on days like these that I remember singing songs and drinking wine while your eyes played games with mine. On days like these I wonder what became of you. Maybe today you're singing songs with someone new. I'd like to think you're walking by those willow trees, remembering the love we knew on days like these. It's on days like these that I remember singing songs and drinking wine while your eyes played games with mine. On days like these I wonder what became of you. Maybe today you're singing songs with someone new. questi giorni quando vieni il bel sole. La 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 la.
Of sugar for a whole day. In fact, 18 kilograms of sugar. You get the average weight that most parents admit that they're lugging around every day. That's 39 pounds worth, which, broadly speaking, exceeds the weight a firefighter carries with them. This is clearly not a good place to actually be in, and we're delighted to actually talk about this and provide some wonderful sage advice. The awesome founder of Mother Pucker, and indeed someone who likes superhero cape-making classes. Yay! And dislikes the naming of celebrity couples, Bradgelina, etc. Yay! It's Anna Whitehouse. How are you, Anna?
Hello. Morning.
Excellent. Great stuff. Now, in terms of this particular research from social money app Pingit, it does seem as though prams, car seats, changing bags, etc., etc., are all being lugged around by the dromedary camels, otherwise known as parents, that exist in the world.
Well, you say camel. I call myself the maternal mule. Every time I walk out of the door, it's sort of like a Duke of Edinburgh gold expedition of stuff. I think I think Pingit found that the average parent carries 42 items everywhere they go. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've got nappies, you've got wipes, you've got food, you've got spare clothes, you've got pram, you've got dummies, etc., etc., keys, wallet, purse, phone, tickets, travel cards, etc. I mean, it's almost as though we're creating a job for somebody who could actually be a personal assistant and carry those things for you, really.
I know. I mean, I kind of just want my child to help out. I'm like, kids, help me, please. And then they're riding their scooter, and they're like, I want to ride the scooter. It's really important to ride the scooter. And then suddenly 5 minutes down the road, I don't want to ride the scooter anymore. Another thing to carry. And then you go and pay for something. So you've got to get them a snack, because they need a snack. And you find that you've got to rummage around in the bottom of your bag where there's like a rogue grape to try and find your wallet. And that's where I'm like, I just need help there. And that's why I've had to start using like contactless payment, because I can't deal with the hassle of delving into all the stuff anymore. And that's what we're using with Pingit.
And is that clearly one of the key tips that you put forward, Anna, to actually make leaving the house easier or less stressful? Basically, travel light and use a card.
I basically need brands to help me. I can't say it any clearer. I'm like, I have 18 kilograms of stuff. I'm carrying 42 items. I have a child that is hollering for the blue spoon, not the green spoon. And I have a sort of whole array of grey-rinsed ladies at the bus stop judging me. I just need someone to help me pay. And that's we've got this contactless device with Pingit. That really helps. Pay as you go. It's really safe. As soon as I want to buy something, I don't have to rummage around. I can literally just swipe it on my arm. And also, I just need people to look me in the eye sometimes, strangers, and go, it's okay. We're all here. It's okay. And just help me carry my buggy up and down the stairs sometimes. That would be nice.
A support structure. I mean, I've got to say, Anna, that your recent blog entry, Fjord Fiesta, was absolutely wonderful in terms of the fjord activity. I know we're not meant to be talking about that, but that worked very well. I mean, in terms of travel across and travel overseas to other countries, etc., is this something else that does it get magnified? Do you have even more paraphernalia that you actually carry around with you when you're in overseas climbs?
I can't even talk to you about skiing. If you go skiing, that's a whole other world. You turn from the maternal mule to the maternal yak. You're just there with all the things. And again, it's just being able to just use your arm to pay for things instead of having to rummage around in your cellar pets or trying to wade through maps. I say maps, I mean, it's all on your phone. But just wading through all the things that you're carrying, just make your life easier. Streamline what you can is the only thing I can say, because I have a stress-induced eye twitch, and it is twitching right now with the amount of things I'm carrying. I just need things to be easier. I mean, the basic stuff, like just being able to pay without having to rummage around, is all I'm looking for. I don't ask for much. That and a hug every so often.
So the future is basically in wearables. Is that the sort of way forward, that actually those are the kinds of things that, with respect to Pingit, it'll make life so much more easier?
Honestly, that's the only way forward for me, is I need brands to help me to pay as I go really seamlessly. I need brands to just make life easier for me. And that's where the future is going, definitely with contactless payment. And my kids even have a song for when I pay with Pingit. They're like, do the Pingit, Mummy, do the Pingit. I don't know whether that's cool or not. I don't know whether I'm a cool mum or not, but either way, it makes it easier.
You see, I'm of the generation that would say, surely it's Pingu the penguin. You know, isn't that how I was Pingit?
You know what? Ping It or Pingu.
Yeah.
I'll take both, well, as long as they help me.
It's a way forward. So, Anna, where would you point people to find out further information about what we've been chatting about today?
If you go to the Ping It website, and they currently actually have 25% off all their devices, so you can just get one and pay as you go really quickly and easily. It's for you, parent people. If you're eye twitching and exhausted, this is for you.
Well, clearly, that's the key thing. And we've got two final customer satisfaction questions from your own perspective, Anna. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic interview with us today? Has it been okay for you?
It has been brilliant for me, thank you.
Well, the next critical question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the near future? Will you return in 2020?
I will, 100%. Ray, bring me in.
Broadcaster, blogger, influencer, Anna Whitehouse. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thank you.
I've been away for far too long, out singing my song, causing trouble and drinking wine, but I've missed this land of mine. Good to be back home, good to be back home.
It is good to be back home. Sina Tile and Sabrina Fallon. It takes a German musician to make good country music, I feel. the way forward, the Vorsprung der Country, so to speak. Oh, various other sort of lines from that point of view. What did we make of that, Emily?
I actually really enjoyed it. I've liked both songs from Tessa both weeks, so she started on a positive note for me.
The reason Tessa isn't with us today, she's poorly.
No.
She's got the lurgy. Poorly Tessa. Probably was wondering whether we'd actually play the thing or not. But no, okay, well, we will play another one, of course, because Sina Tyler's also produced another little line. And I think it's fair to say you liked that one as well, Beverly.
I did.
Good.
It was great.
Eloise, on the other hand, was somewhat sort of in pain, I think.
I tend to nap through country music.
It's okay. Rock and Roll to My Country Soul, the other tune that we're going to line up with Sina Tyler in a few seconds from now. A little bit of backdrop to that. Obviously, I'm not going to deliver it as well as Tessa from that point of view, but effectively, Good to Be Back Home features the amazing Billy Condon on fiddle and Robbie Kennedy on box, both played extensively with the Dubliners, so you were well aware of the Irish connection there. The song has been very well received, as we said. It has worked its way up to number 3 in the Irish country music airplay charts and has had over 170 plays in just about 2 weeks, so it'll be up to 200 now. I thought we played that. I'll play tomorrow. We'll work its way through that. Rock and Roll to My Country Soul will take us round, hopefully, to Canada and Abby LeMay's summing up of the program with Sina Tyle.
Me page, I'm like Abby Lou, but we come together somewhere around blue suede shoes. You're the rock and roll to my country soul, and I like it. Like a Chuck Berry lick, I like the fiddle. But the sweetest thing is when we meet in the middle. You're the rock and roll to my country soul, and I like.
And why wouldn't you like it? Sina Tyle, Rock and Roll to My Country Soul, Rock and Roll to Our Siren Radio Soul at Midweek Drive Time is Abby LeMay. How are you, Abby?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Again, the second Canadian on the programme. Clearly, the Canadians are slowly but surely proving that when it comes to North America, we can forget south of the border. We'll just stay north of the border for the majority of time.
Yes, Of course.
Well, exactly. So, you have hopefully managed to catch a majority of the production this evening, whether we actually take our words of Harry Wallop, or indeed Lucy Vine, or William Coles, or MJ Preston, or Michelle Monroe, or Tessa's Tune, or Zoe Jameson, or Anne Lewis, and the terrific trio of Emily, Beverly, and Eloise, who are in the house. And it's really only Eloise who actually... Emily, of course, knows you, because otherwise she wouldn't be on the show. Forget that. Sometimes I write the script, I read the script, I learn the script, then I just drop the script completely. No, I was going to say Emily didn't know who she was, because she was denying all knowledge of ever having met up with Abigail, but that's not true. Not in that dimension. Anyway, Abby, it's your part of the programme. We've filled in as sadly he's got one or two other issues to work through, and we send him our very best wishes, thoughts and prayers. From that point of view, sadly his mum passed away on the same day as he celebrated his birthday, so tough call on that basic thing. And of course it is Happy Thanksgiving as well, so other issues coming through on that basis. So Abby, you're in the route that even Robin Pierce might have made, but in the end he went off to Romania and did say, you can call me, it's all right Robin, sorry, we're okay, we work our way through that.
Miss you, Robin.
Well, there you are. Abby, take us through the programme, take the listener through the programme in terms of what you've heard, what bits have floated your boat, and where you'd actually say that's worth downloading the podcast for.
Well, today I mostly caught the end bit. I took a bit of a sleep in this morning. Mm-hmm. Up late last night, mm-hmm. writing an essay.
Of course, yes.
But I did catch, what I found most interesting was Michelle's bit. Because, of course, I know that Eloise is really excited to talk about all the oldies.
The oldies.
And I thought it was interesting. Listen, to me, they're the oldies.
Of course.
As my mom calls them as well.
Raves from the grave is another sort of line you can actually use.
Oh, my God.
It's true. You know, go down back in time to those areas where people are no longer living with us. Heaven FM.
Well, of course, I thought that was interesting because it's not something that we usually talk about, or I usually talk about. Mm. So it was nice to hear the discussion around that and kind of revive it. But yeah, I think that was probably one of my favorite bits.
Mm. So is it fair to say then that Michelle Monroe could be your Abby LeMay, Robin Pierce, founded most valuable contributor of the year, of the show award? I don't know, year, I'm
Maybe not of the year, but definitely of the show.
Definitely the show. Yeah, that makes sense.
From what I've caught.
Have you seen Frozen yet, Abby?
No, I have not seen it yet. I am so excited to go see it, but I promised my mom that I would see it with her. And of course, she is living in Niagara while I'm here in Toronto. Finding time to go back during this busy time of the school year is incredibly difficult. Mm. So I've not seen it yet, but I have heard very, very good things. It's supposed to be way better than the first one. Mm. I absolutely cannot wait to see it.
You could always both go into the cinema at the same time.
You
could actually both go into the cinema at the same time, but in different cinemas.
Oh, just at different locations, of course. But that defeats the purpose. Mm.
All right, I was only trying to help, Abby.
Thank you.
It is a challenge. I mean, Beverly, have you decided to book in time with your mum to actually say, Mum, we're going to go and see Frozen 2. It's what we need.
Look, I haven't even seen the first one.
What?
It's just something that I don't
Let it go.
It's a really good film. You should watch it.
It's the Snow Queen, but done a la Disney. You know?
I had 1,000 little students doing their ballet solos to it, so I know the songs very, very well.
Dina Menzel, responsible for a number of frayed nerves, no doubt. Anyway. And Emily, are you checking out Frozen 2?
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm supposed to be watching it when I go home at Christmas. So, yeah, I'm supposed to be seeing it with my friends, so I am really excited.
As opposed
to
the final Star Wars, there?
Yeah. Oh, yes, as opposed to... I'm not actually, hate to say it, but I'm not actually a Star Wars fan, so... Wow. I don't know if that's a bad thing to say or a good thing to say.
You've
got to say
what... Emily, you've just got to say what you've got to say, basically. Yeah, it's the way forward. Sad, but true. Anyway, moving on from that point of view, Eloise, because it's the first time you've had a chance to really speak one-on-one to Abby, because I think most times, I mean, last week, obviously, you weren't part of the studio because you were stuck up at the cathedral.
It's like I'm deliberately trying to avoid Abby, actually not.
No.
Yeah, I am.
But
I get aggressive messages from Abby when I don't turn up when she's on. But other than that,
I get really upset. It really hurts my feelings.
I'm sorry.
I mean, Bethany, heaven only knows where she is. You know, whether she's still on the planet, whether she's gone like Voyager and she's gone beyond the solar system and is, you know, out by Pluto or, you know, Neptune or various other areas. Who knows? But, you know, in terms of, you know, I mean, still, maybe it's because Abby, it's because she switched to a degree which is obviously looking at medieval history that she suddenly wants to put aside her time spent on the the humanities side of things, the film and television studies. I don't know.
Never.
Just a thought. Anyway, have you got any questions you want to put to Abby Beverly? Given that your paths have not crossed on the Midweek Drive.
No, I've never met you, Abby.
Too often.
So. Yeah,
if at all, apart from last week.
I only know that you like Frozen. And
you like Frozen, yeah.
and
so it goes.
I did see the original movie 3 times in theatres. So I paid for it 3 separate times.
So what is it? What is it in particular that appeals to you about the whole Frozen, as you say, the Frozen legacy, you know, that notion? I mean, is it the case of female empowerment? Is it Disney going woke? Is it a case of superheroes and performing all sorts of things? Is it the cute snowman? Is it, you know, where do you sort of pitch the sort of the reasons it was so successful compared to arguably, say, Mona, which maybe less so?
Did you mean Moana?
Well, Moana, Mona, you know, it's very confusing. What was I saying with MJ Preston earlier? You know, Moana, Mona, Hawaii.
Well, I'm for sure I'm a huge Disney fan. I think they always do wonderful, wonderful things. But I think Frozen was so successful because, I mean, the music's fantastic. The animation is, like, breathtaking. And I think the story really resonates with people. It's a lot to do with family, and it's got a lot to do with, you know, overcoming obstacles. So I think, when I saw it, I was in early high school, I think 9th or 10th grade. So when I saw it, I was like, wow, it's got so much cool music, and it's just really, yeah, you're right, it's really empowering. So I think that's all it is.
Does that help solve that little challenge, Beverly, in terms of why is Frozen so popular?
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
Good. Which Disney tune would you like from a sort of range of Disney music? Would you like a Disney classic, Abby, or would you like a sort of more up-to-date number? Which one would you actually work from? Any particular sort of, I mean, a computer may have it, it may not. We just don't know at these days. And no, we're holding back on the Frozen until probably Kira actually makes a return to the studio, because otherwise, you know, she'd probably go all emotional and everything else from that point. So what I can't cope with an emotional undergraduate at this time of the evening. It's just not going to happen. So is there any particular movie from Disney that you think, yeah, that's the one I'd really go for?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Tangled. I've been listening to some of the Tangled music, but I'm curious to see what classics you have.
Well, I mean, for me, one of the awesome classics is actually delivered by the awesome Amy Adams, and of course the fantastic, wonderful world of Enchanted.
Come, my little friends, as we all sing a happy little working song. Merry little voices, clear and strong. Come and roll your sleeves up, so to speak, and pitch in. Cleaning crud up in the kitchen as we sing along. Trill a cheery tune in the tub as you scrub a stubborn mildew stain. Luck a hairball from the shower drain to that gay refrain of a happy working song. We'll keep singing without fail, otherwise we'd spoil it. Hosing down the garbage pail and scrubbing up the toilet. Ooh, how we all enjoy letting loose with a little la-da-dum-dum-dum. While we're emptying the vacuum up, it's such fun to hum a happy working song. Ooh, a happy working song. Working tune to hum while you're sponging up the soapy scum. We adore each filthy tour that we determine. So friends, even though you're vermin, we're a happy working dog.
detergent box for the smelly shirts and the stinky socks. Sing along. If you cannot sing, then hum along as we're finishing our happy working song. Wasn't this fun?
Yes, housework can be fun, particularly when you see the magic of the shower and the other aspects that are coming through in that basis, which of course ties in with the X-Men. How does it tie in with the X-Men, Eloise?
I don't know, you confuse me.
Because the actor who portrayed Scott Summers in the X-Men was the Prince
Charming. Oh, yeah, James Marsden.
Exactly.
I get it. That's I see
right.
it now.
I throw these things out there, we work on the show, we structure it in a way in which it provides that little bit of added value.
I've annoyed that, I forgot that.
Oh, it's okay. It was the stress of speaking to Michelle Monroe. were you an Enchanted fan, Abby?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's such a good movie. I almost forgot about it there. What a good one. Thank you for the reminder.
Well, that's just part of the social service that we actually provide here internationally from the Midweek Drive across the globe in so many delightful ways. So what plans do you have in store for the festive season? Or is it a case of, it's Canada, we don't believe in Christmas, we do something completely different?
No, we are still really big on Christmas, but of course in Canada there's a whole lot of diversity. So we've got our Christmas market that's on right now. I think in a few weeks they're doing like a, which I'm really excited about, they're doing like a Swedish Christmas market.
A Swedish.
That sounds fun.
Swedish Christmas market. Yeah. Lashings of ABBA. Some Ace of Base. Marvellous. maybe the Muppet Swedish Chef. Hoody, 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 ho. It's genius.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, stunning. See where I'm going with that. And of course, when we said come welcome to the actual programme for the Midweek Drive, you can do our Thanksgiving special. Of course, in Canada, your Thanksgiving has already been and gone. So, you know, the turkey went a long time ago when it came to Canadian Thanksgivings.
Right. So our Thanksgiving is over, but we're a fan of American Thanksgiving. Of course, that was close enough to the States that it's not, like, we know when Thanksgiving is. Mm. And of course,
it's the day before Black Friday. We know that, you know. It's that well-worn festival of Satanism, where you actually just purchase things that are probably going to do no good for you at all, effectively.
Yeah, very true. I'm very excited. I'm not going to be able to shop on Black Friday because I will be working.
Wow. Now, are you still banking, or is that another sort of line where you said, no, I've stepped away from the banking?
Banking?
Hmm. I'm sure you were working in financial services at one stage. Emily's nodding, so I'm not losing my mind here.
I'm not working at the bank yet. Right now I'm living in Toronto, so the bank that I work in is at Niagara. I will be back there in December for the Christmas break, but right now I'm working at a restaurant.
Yeah, and it sounds as though you're kind of just walking out of the kitchen even as we speak, basically. You've made your tea, you've done your transatlantic link, and say, that's it, I'll just let them go now. They can ask me the last two questions. I'll just head away and walk away from that sort of thing. So why bother? You know, it's all there. A few moments to actually go. Abby, who would you like to ask you the last two questions before we say Happy Thanksgiving to Americans? Obviously, if you're not an American, well, why would you celebrate Thanksgiving? I suppose just be giving thanks.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Mm. Exactly. Lord knows we need it this time of the day, this sort of world, this kind of crazy sort of situation that we're in with another sort of 12 hours before we get to the next Midweek Drive morning edition. Who would you like to ask you those last two questions, please? Abby, would it be Eloise? Would it be Emily? Would it be Beverly?
Considering this is the first time I've come back on the show and it's the first time Eloise is here, I'd love it if she could ask me those questions.
I miss you, Abby, and your massively orange jumper. It's just not the same.
God. That gets mentioned every time, the orange jumper, I swear.
I wasn't going to, but I felt Eloise would raise the same
just to dig her with it.
I never ever live it down.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have.
And will you be joining us again?
Yeah, I hope so.
It's become pretty much a regular, as we knew.
She was. I hope I'm here next time.
Of that sort of
I'll try.
7 days, 168 hours, a lot could happen. Don't forget, if you're listening to Siren Radio, well done. Congratulations. It's the Siren Cinema Show coming up after the news. Tomorrow morning, back with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Will you be back on the Morning Edition, Emily Boston?
Yes, I will. I'll be back on the morning.
So William Sitwell returns. And we've also got a comedian talking about the Stressers, Sheffield Stressers. And
is it an Australian comedian?
No. So I just thought, I mean, there's only certain... I knew you were, you said that, and we could obviously have time links with respect to Australia, and it would be sort of evening time, but frankly, no, we just can't be doing on that sort of basis. Before we say happy Thanksgiving, thanks to Little Roll of Honour, Anna Lewis, Lucy Vine, Harry Wallop, William Coles, MJ Preston, Zoe James and Michelle Munro, Abby LeMay, and, of course, Anna Whitehouse. She of the interestingly named website. I won't say it again because it's already been said and people were confused. They said they could have sworn I said something. No. I said Pucker. P-U-K-K-A. Anyway, let's move on from that basis. And in the studio, of course, Eloise Sheehan, Beverly Spencer and Emily Boston. Thank you. Thank you, dear listener. Can we all say happy Thanksgiving? A one, a two, a three?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Didn't hear you in Canada, actually. You know, I was hoping that, and it just didn't get at all. No, exactly.
You know, how do you not know that by now?
I know, so it was queued up with that sort of thing. I thought, it's Phil Lynn has come back by mistake. You know, it's snow. Okay.
I forgot I was on.
Such a long outro, filling up to the whole sort of system before we head into that thing. Okay, so after three, a one, a two, a three.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Visit us at sirenonline.co.uk.